In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. And as we get into hour number two, our weekly guest, Richard Battle, joining us now, navigating life's journey. Let me say that correctly. Richard, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, John. Thank you so much for having us this afternoon.
Oh, it's always a joy, Richard. I look forward to talking to you each week. There's always a ton going on. There's a ton right now that we'll get into. And some of those are Dominion voting machine results, which I've seen some of these and I've watched some of the videos. And honestly, Richard, I really don't know how to respond because I don't know where these are going to take us.
Well, I think that's a great point. And of course, there's only one reason it makes a difference right now, and that is the 2020 election is still in play. And the media manipulation that it's over, Republicans saying that it's over, anyone that says it's over because of the Electoral College met on Monday is mistaken. It is not over. January 6th, the Congress will meet to record the votes. The inauguration's January 20th, which is the only date in the Constitution that has to be met. And there's a provision in the 12th Amendment that if the vote is not satisfied or a president's not elected by Inauguration Day, there's a provision there also. So this is not over yet.
Yeah, you know what? And how should I say this? I hope that you're correct. I wonder, how should I say this, Richard? First of all, I'm not a constitutional expert, not by any stretch of the imagination. I've learned a ton by doing this show on a daily basis for the last 5-6 years, and so I've learned a lot more than what I would have known even prior to that. I guess what I'm saying, Richard, I don't know what that last ditch effort even is at this point. Maybe you can enlighten me because I don't know what that is at this point.
Well, the one thing I think, and I've only seen very little in the media on, is the 1876 election lasted 115 days, and it was not resolved until 36 hours before inauguration. And Rutherford B. Hayes was elected in that deal that was cut. No one thought he would be elected during that 115 days. And Colorado played a very important part in that election because in 1875, there was a special congressional provision passed that enabled Colorado to be brought into the Union in 1876 in time to submit 3 electoral votes. And that election was decided by 1 electoral vote. Hmm. And you'd be interested to know that that year in Colorado, because it was so late into the election, there was no popular vote in Colorado. Only the legislature selected the electors for the state.
Okay.
So there were some very unique things in that 1876 election that are very fascinating and parallel to what's going on now.
So where does the Dominion voting in Antrim County, Michigan, where does that stand? Where is it going to go from here? You know, again, Richard, I've read a lot of things, even watched some of the video that folks have had out there, and I've had lots of things sent my way. I guess I don't know. I guess I don't know enough internals right now of what's going on even in the White House to know what they're doing. But are they going to do anything with this, or can they do anything about this?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on with Sidney Powell and other legal efforts right now. And they came out Monday, and the judge allowed them to report that there was a lot of discrepancies in that county in Michigan. And, of course, people who want Joe Biden to win have come back and tried to dispute that. But it will be real interesting between now and January 6th to see what other news comes out about other Dominion machines in other states. Republicans have elected electors in all of the disputed states to submit to Congress on January 6th as well. And so that sets up, depending on what happens between now and then, disputed electors being submitted to Congress and how they will receive and approve those electors.
Let me just say this. I hope you're right, Richard. And I'm not saying that you're not. I hope you are. I hope something, you know, like that does happen between now and January 6th and that we have some sort of a shakeup. Although my hopes aren't super high. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being negative. I try not to be. You know me, I'm a pretty positive guy. I try to stay positive, look at things realistically. But I don't have a lot of hope left.
Well, I don't disagree with that, because it's going to take some people in the Congress and potentially some judges or justices at the Supreme Court to show political courage. And there hasn't been a lot of that displayed yet. And my hope is that the evidence becomes so overwhelming that the media cannot hide it anymore, and that the people are in those positions are forced to act, because if they don't act, their embarrassment and discredit would be larger than if they do act.
Well said. I want to save sort of what would happen under a, you know, Joe Biden presidency for maybe one of our later conversations as we move along this path and we get a little closer. We'll talk Christmas and some things next week instead of that. But maybe as we get to the first of the year, by then we'll sort of know where we're headed with some of what's going on with Dominion. But let's talk about lockdowns versus, and I'm going to play some things even today after you and I are done, with some of this noncompliance that we're now starting to finally see from citizenry and even law enforcement. Folks right now, Richard, are just, honestly, they're at their wits' end. They're fed up.
Well, yes, absolutely. And you're seeing in New Jersey that 74% of the people are not complying with the contact tracing. You've seen Orange County, California is not releasing prisoners out of their jails due to COVID. Riverside, California is not enforcing lockdown. So we're seeing a lot more of it. And I think people ought to notice, if they watch football games, college or pro, you see games in California, there are zero fans. Mm-hmm. You see games in Texas or Florida or other states, there's 25% fans. If I'm in California, I want to know, why can't we have 25% fans?
Right.
So the government overreach at many different levels is breathtaking.
Richard, have you ever seen, I haven't, have you ever seen this type of government overreach where a lot of folks have really, if you would, just folded the poker cards and say, you know, okay, I'm done. I'm folding my cards. I'm not doing this. You know, I'm just going to go along with whatever is being said today rather than continue to play the game. Have you ever seen a time in our lives where government has so much overreach and yet so many people are just folding?
Well, I think that in our lifetimes, no. And the precedent that's being set now for draconian government overreach for the rest of our lives is there. And it's essential that at some point, and I think we're there, that people do push back. And I think you can look back into the 1770s, into the colonies, and that's what they eventually did. And who knows where it will go, but we've got to get back to where the government's a servant of the people, and not a ruler of the people.
Well, and that's really what our founding fathers set up as a constitutional republic in the first place. And I know, Richard, that words matter, and I know myself, I have been guilty of this in the past, of calling, you know, our elected officials leaders, and I've called them things that probably, Richard, are not true. They are actually elected servants. They're not elected leaders. I know they lead the country, and there's some nomenclature there we could get into, but by and large, Richard, they're supposed to be civil servants and serving us. That's the way our constitutional republic is supposed to work, and yet right now, we are serving them. They are not serving us.
Well, that's true, and is what I call it is we're slaves of the government.
Right.
And when you go into small towns, and the small town is suffering, but every government building is sparkling and brand new, and the government never takes a hit financially. The people making these rules are not sacrificing. There's no leadership by example. They're forcing people to give up salaries and jobs, but they're still getting paid whether they show up at their offices or not. Then the government is overreached, and it's time to reset it to be the servant of the people as it was founded.
Richard, you just said something that is, I'm always reminded of. I own a business where I'm into the property maintenance end of things. And so, we've got the type of a business where, it's not super glamorous. And, we've got a shop and we maintain our own fleet and we do all the different things. And frankly, we look like sort of a mini city yard, if you would. We've got our own salt pile for snow and different things like that. And the reality is it's much like a little mini city yard. And what I operate out of, what I will tell you right now, I operate out of, doesn't look anything like the palace that my local city just built to run the city maintenance yard out of. And so what you just said a moment ago, boy, does that hit home. I mean, I operate out of something that is a far cry from the, I literally call it the palace, the multi-million dollar palace that the city works out of. And yet I would venture to guess, Richard, at the end of the day, I get as much work done daily as they do.
Well, you get as much work done, and of course you're working on a profit in your personal bank account, whereas the governments, they have no shame in asking for more money.
No, they do not.
More money, regardless of what they've got, and they never want to take a hit and go backwards on their budget.
And if anybody out there ever wants to realize that in real terms, Richard, and I'm sure you've experienced this, but if anybody wants to see what that's like, just go look up any auction site across the country that has a city county auction in it, Richard, and look at the types of things that are typically being sold and tell me that those guys make any kind of sacrifice looking at just what gets sold off.
Well, that's true, and there is no word sacrifice in the government, but
no, there is not. These guys have the Cadillac of all Cadillacs when it comes to tools and equipment, and Richard, it's all done on you and I's dime.
That's absolutely correct. And hopefully, going through this COVID situation, at some point people will realize it's time to put them on a real budget.
Agree.
And restrict them a little bit and make them servants of the people again. And I think that's what's going to happen at some point.
I know we're close on time, Richard. I appreciate you really getting into some detail here today with us. Give us, though, a story from navigating life's journey.
Well, what the story I'd like to share today is the self-defeating word that will demolish your dreams, and that word is can't. Mm. And my dad used to always tell me when I was a kid, can't never did anything, but Jen Bricker, if people want to look her up, was born without any legs, and her birth parents gave her up. Her adoptive parents told her the one word she could not speak was can't, and at 7 years old, she decided she wanted to be a gymnast. And she started and failed and failed and failed, and she ended up becoming a state champion gymnast. She's now a professional. She played basketball and softball in high school with no legs. She has achieved so much because her parents taught her that the word can't should never be spoken by her. And that's something that inspires me, and I hope will inspire your listeners.
Well said.
That there's no limit to what we can do if we just don't let can't be in our vocabulary.
My father was one of those, and by the way, Richard has the same name as you, and I was taught the same way, that that is a word that was not allowed to be spoken, especially around him in our family, was can't, because you can do anything you want to if you put your mind to it.
That's absolutely correct. And in navigating life's journey, I have 250 examples of people, places, and events that are inspiring and encouraging, and we try to share them with as many people as possible.
Well done, Richard. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week right before Christmas, and I'm looking forward to it, sir.
Thank you, John. God bless America.
God bless America. Richard, thanks a lot. Richard Battle, again, author of Navigating Life's Journey. It's a great book, folks. You'll get inspired by reading it. Mighty Hand Construction is next. And speaking of a bunch of guys that will not say can't, that really will say, yes, we'll get that done. We'll take care of it. That is Mighty Hand Construction. Any project you've got, whether it's expansion, whether it's building a new house, whether it's a remodel, a basement refinish, you name it, they're there for you, and just solid guys. 970-844-9191 or go to MightyHandConstruction.com or find them on KLZRadio.com.
The team at Mighty Hand gets back to you. A lot of mom-and-pop construction companies don't have large enough teams to call you back promptly. The same guy probably works as both the foreman and the salesperson, so he simply doesn't have the time. Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction in Fort Collins, has a team of dedicated project managers who will make sure you have a solid estimate on your remodeling project within a couple of weeks, at the latest. As a full-service construction company with nothing but five-star reviews, Mighty Hand prides themselves on their timely responses. Micah and his team run a well-organized business with designated shop managers, their own delivery trucks and equipment, subcontractors they trust, and experienced foremen who will oversee every detail of your project. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand for custom real estate modification in Northern Colorado. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. And if you want to know anything about a mortgage, whether you can save money, how it works, what you need to do with your credit score, all of that, Kurt Rogers can help you with. He is the expert, in my opinion, when it comes to mortgages, and he's my mortgage guy and only guy I use. Call Kurt today, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, myself, Charlie Grimes, and we've got special guests joining us in a moment here as well. But I got a few things I want to play that tie into our next guest. And Michael Beatrice, he's a COVID expert, wrote the book COVID Lockdowns. So there is a restaurant owner in California, in Ventura, Anton Van Happen of Nick the Greek. The health department showed up, and I've got a few clips here I just want to play, and I didn't know when I was watching this whether to cheer or punch the computer screen because of what was going on. I understand this guy's pain, and it goes back to what I said with Richard a moment ago. People are finally getting fed up. Let me play this. Yep, let me make sure this plays, Charlie. Here we go.
I follow the rules. I continue to follow the rules, and you guys still, time after time, are giving me citations, telling me I have to close my business. What about my employees?
You're not following the rules.
I am following the rules. My tables are inside. Just because the health department has a whole process to go through that takes however long that takes, I have to close my business for that time? Who's it? Are you going to pay my rent? Are you going to pay my rent?
Make those decisions, right?
I chose to protest by putting my tables outside, and I reiterate again, I never saw...
Okay, so real quick, I want to make sure everybody understands what's going on here. He's getting a citation because he did takeout only, which is what he was told to do. Keep in mind, in California, right now, there's no outside dining. Even though in Colorado we can, you can't in California. Yeah, COVID's very smart. It knows how all this works. So in California, you can't do outside dining. So what he did was, still did takeout, but in protest of what was going on, he put some tables outside where if you took takeout and you wanted to sit down and have your meal, you could. He wasn't serving anybody, but he put his tables outside, and then the health department showed up to write him a citation and close him down.
One single person outside. I did all takeout food and delivery to what exactly I was supposed to be doing. That's exactly what I did. I did not break any, and there's not even a law, I did not break any rule.
There is a law that you're breaking right now by operating without a permit.
And by the way, there's no law.
Put this closure on my restaurant. You, so you guys yourselves are creating your own rule. And you're getting my citation for your own rule that's created. It's not by law that you cannot sit outside and eat. That's not law. That's an order that was given.
Okay.
So you cannot give me a closure citation based on that.
It's already been ordered. I'm not issuing a closure. I'm saying
what do you mean you're not issuing a closure? You guys closed me. You're not asking to close me.
I'm not issuing the citation. The closure. The restaurant is already closed. The permit has been suspended. However, your refusal to close warrants a
misdemeanor. Because what am I going to do if I close? Are you going to pay my rent?
No. All we need
to do. Okay, so if you're not going to pay my rent, I'm not closing.
We need to reopen.
Because you're not going to pay my rent. I told you already.
We could have reopened today. We could be open right now. We've missed those steps. The steps that you need to take to make sure that you can open your business. You could have reopened
how?
Already.
How?
The steps are listed in the report that was
which I did. I called the guy. The guy I spoke to on the phone was a supervisor. Because he made a mistake, that was on me. He made a mistake. I recorded on my phone what he said. Yes, he did. He told me if I put it in writing to him on an email that I will follow the rules and I will not put my tables for outside dining.
So you can feel the frustration in this guy's voice. And as I said a moment ago, as I watched this last night, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to laugh at the health department workers, cheer this guy on, cry because I can feel his pain, or punch the screen because it just is so irritating at what these health departments are doing across the country. We have finally allowed the Kevins and Karens of the world to run business. And folks, when we do that, and when we allow that, we're screwed. Sorry, I don't know how to say it. We're in deep doo-doo. We're toast. You cannot allow health departments to run this country. When we do, which we're seeing now in the results of COVID, our economy tanks, people lose their jobs. Because guess what? These people that are shutting these businesses down and running around being the Kevins and Karens of the world, they don't care about people. They will tell you that they do, but at the end of the day, they don't. Purefoy Chevrolet is coming up next. I can tell you one thing. They care about people. They've been doing business since 1960 in a way that other dealerships, folks, just don't do business. They will help you, take care of you, put you in the right car, meet your needs, and make it a really easy experience, unlike what you're going to find in other dealerships. How do I know that? Because I've done business there. Frankly, did business there before they ever became a sponsor. In Fort Lupton, Highway 52 and Highway 85, is Purefoy Chevrolet, 303-659-8311.
My first name is Steve, and I began going to Purefoy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I've bought 5 cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I'll have some more details of even a restaurant here locally that's helping, how should I say this, helping to protest some of what we've got going on even in Colorado. Michael Beatrice, though, joining us now. Michael, welcome back to Rush to Reason. I really appreciate you joining us. And you're author of Lockdowns on Trial, COVID-19, I should say, Lockdowns on Trial. And, man, there's a lot going on even right now, which by now, Michael, we've had you on many times. I thought by now we wouldn't be talking about this.
Well, listen, when I first wrote the book, I started the first edition of it in April, and I told all my friends this was going to unwind by May 1st. The data wasn't supporting lockdowns, and they thought I was crazy, and now I'm the one who's crazy.
You and me both, because I was like you. I thought this thing was going to be gone by now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not that the health, you know, it's not about being a COVID denier, right? I mean, the health issues are real. It's about a proportionate response, you know, the lockdowns and the school closings and the restaurants and all the stuff you're familiar with that we see in the news. Is that proportionate in doing anything? And it's still just such an absolute no, and here we are.
Yeah, here we are. In fact, I just played the gentleman that owns a restaurant, you know, out in Ventura, California, Nick. And I just played him a minute ago in really the protest that he had, where there was somebody actually there interviewing him that filmed the health department showing up and, you know, shutting him down, all because he put tables outside so when somebody got their to-go order, if they wanted to sit down and have a meal, they could, and they were shutting his business down over that. We have reached a level, Michael, in this country where we're letting health departments run the country, and I really don't understand why. The data doesn't support what's going on.
Well, you know what's interesting? I wrote an op-ed piece about this about 3 weeks ago, and it was called The Burden of Proof. And what my premise was, the burden is on the lockdown states to demonstrate that they are doing much better at suppression than the two open states we have, which are South Dakota and Florida. And what I found is that if you look at the data trend, the curves, I mean, South Dakota got slammed last month, no question about it. But so did every state around it, including yours, right? So everybody peaked sometime between November 10th and about 2 weeks
ago. Real quick, I want to stop for just 1 second there, Michael, because I think this is a really important thing, what you're saying. I want to make sure that we remind everybody what that peak came from, because it's being blamed on all sorts of things. The reality is, Michael, it really is just sort of the peak of what happened as we entered into the cold season, right?
Right. So what you see is all over your area, all the states surrounding Colorado, Iowa, Nebraska, the Dakotas, Montana, Idaho, all Minnesota, Wisconsin, all had identical curves. You could almost, the numbers are different, but I mean the curves
are the same.
One on top of another,
that's right.
And they're identical. They're
that's
just
right.
Identical with a 2-week wiggle room.
And by the way, Michael, real quick, Colorado, same way. We, you could throw us into that mix as well. My son and I both were talking about that. And, you know, we had folks even around here, Michael, trying to blame some of our quote-unquote spikes on Thanksgiving. The reality, though, is we didn't have any spikes after Thanksgiving. In fact, we dropped.
No.
And that window was missed. And they tried using Thanksgiving as an excuse because of the gatherings around family and so on. Fact of the matter is it didn't fit the timeline.
Right, there is no Thanksgiving spike, flat out. So your peak was ramping up. I'm going off memory, but it was because I follow Colorado around December 3rd, and South Dakota's was about 2 weeks earlier than that. But all those states in that area, you know, within 700 or 800 miles, all had pretty much the same curves. Your state north, not going south. Well, actually, New Mexico did too. And so when you look at that, my contention is, if you're a lockdown state, you should be far outperforming, let's say, South Dakota. If you're in the southeast, if you're Georgia, Alabama, all those states, you should be far outperforming Florida. And the reality is, it's all about the same. And so, like, Florida's doing a little better than some of those other states. South Dakota did a little worse. North Dakota did even worse. And so, but it's all kind of negligible. It's all within a statistical sort of, it's not significant. And so, but if you believe in lockdowns and all those mitigation measures, South Dakota and Florida should have gotten their butt kicked
right.
in COVID performance
right.
really all year, and for sure over the last 60 days. that didn't really play out. And again, here we are. Back talking again.
I know, and again, it's not that I don't like talking to you, Michael. No, I love talking to you. We speak the same language, so that's not the point. The point is, why are we still talking about it?
Yeah, we're going to be in this. We're going to be in this until spring.
Are we ever going to get out of it? Is my question, Michael?
Well, the only way out of it is herd immunity. So, and you achieve herd immunity one of two ways. You achieve it through an organic kind of resolution of this, which is how all the other pandemics ended, the Hong Kong, Asian, and Spanish flus, kind of in the last 100 years, or you get a vaccine and that creates the herd immunity too. So either way, you get such a huge amount of the population or a large amount that that can't transmit it or get infected that it dies off. And so the combination of having over 100 million people that have gotten it now, and the combination of that and the vaccine, we will probably be over the hump. I think second quarter, and so I think we'll see schools this year academically. It is gone. It is a lost year for kids, which is we could do several segments on that.
Yeah, too bad. Shouldn't be.
But next year, I really do believe next year will be kind of a normal environment for everybody.
What do you tell the folks out there, even including the Faucis of the world, that the vaccine is not a, and I realize it's not a cure-all, although they're saying that even if you get the vaccine, you still need a social distance, wear your mask, do this, do that. Michael, are we ever going to get to a point, even after all of that, and by the way, I believe what you just said is correct, but are we ever going to get to the point where life goes back to a no-mask normal?
I do think that happens in the middle of next year. Again, I thought, I'm in Texas, and I'm surprised we still have a mask order, but Texas is actually peaking in hospitalizations. By the way, I've got some data that I prepared that I'd love to share with you.
Sure, go for it. Do it.
At some point in this. So I want to contextualize some of this because you see the headlines about just how terrible things are. And by the way, like, it's not great, but it also isn't as bad as what we hear. Right now, nationally, we have 25% of all hospital beds are open and 27% of our ICUs.
Okay.
15% of occupancy nationally is with COVID patients. But if you kind of look at that data, that would say that if COVID didn't exist, we might have 40% open hospital beds. We normally run at this type of a number. We're flat to last year.
Right.
We have the same number of hospitalizations
right.
as last year.
Thank you.
So 31 out of 50 states are even or below in hospital occupancy. That's a good sign.
Right.
But here's the kicker for you. We normally have a little over 8,000 deaths per day this time of the year in December. And other times it's more like 7,800 to 900. Right now we are running excess deaths of about 10 to 12%, which is 800 to 1,000 extra deaths. But we're reporting COVID deaths of 2,500 to up to 3,000. What I'm telling you is that while COVID is having an impact on excess deaths, it's also curing other things that people would be dying from, or what I really mean is displacing those.
Mm.
And so you have to look at excess deaths. It's the only way to define the impact of this. And our excess deaths are hovering less than 1,000 right now. What that means is that either people are in there with other things, it's other illnesses that they would be dying from, or it's causing a fatality in somebody that would have been dying kind of on their schedule,
right.
On the CDC's projections
right.
anyway. That's kind of an important context. It makes it a little less maybe scary. It contextualizes the data. The other thing to remember in this is nursing homes are again getting bombed. We're getting 50,000 cases a week and 10,000 deaths a week.
And we haven't protected them, Michael. We've done this opposite of what we should have.
Well, I mean, you would think after 6 months. I actually am not critical of this. I assume everybody and their brother knows about the risk to nursing homes. It must be more complex than
well,
than
what I mean by that is, and I'll give you our example here in Colorado, and this is what I see, because our nursing home cases are up as well, and yet we've got nursing home workers that are actually out running around exposing themselves and doing things that you would think, to your point a moment ago, that they would know they shouldn't be doing, but yet they still are. But I feel because what we've done in Colorado, Michael, is we have locked down all of society, including the nursing homes, where we should just be locking down tighter than a drum the nursing homes, the elderly, and those that are the most at risk, and letting them know what's going on, and letting the rest of the state get the herd immunity you talked about earlier. But we're not doing that, and so what we're doing is we're making it so that the people that shouldn't be locked down are, they want to go out and do things on the weekend. And by the way, I'm not faulting some of these workers at nursing homes for what they're doing. They're just doing what they naturally do anyways. The reality is they're so tired of being locked down that people are still doing the things they would have been doing otherwise, and they're being, in a way, I guess you could say, you know, careless with those elderly individuals at nursing homes because we're not doing this right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could be a Barrington Declaration author. That's exactly what that you just put in kind of layman terms exactly what the Barrington Declaration is. So it was well put, and it just must be. Everybody knows about the vulnerability to long-term care facilities. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that protecting that, maybe it just can't be done. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to believe that people in those care facilities are getting tested every time they go to work practically, and temperatures taken and things like that. So I don't know what the answer is, I don't know what the answer is for care facilities, but it does show you that the virus hasn't changed in terms of, you know, the vulnerable people.
That's
are
right.
still
That's right.
78 years old.
That's right.
With comorbidities, which means the general population and schools just simply aren't any more at risk than they were.
Nope.
And when you look at that South Dakota and Florida analysis, we should be open.
Yes, we should. Yes, agree. You're exactly right. And by the way, one of the things that I can tell you right now is not working, just because if you look at if you look at the data, who actually ends up with COVID and what happens to them, no offense, Michael, but taking temperatures is like peeing in the wind. It's not doing any good because there's a lot of folks running around with COVID that never have a temperature.
Oh, yeah. So not only that, I mean, one thing that was interesting about the spread, so like I live in a Dallas suburb, and I had my best friend actually got, so he and I are both 54. We both got, he tested positive the next day with symptoms. He didn't get sick, but he lost his sense of taste and smell. So he would have been at peak vulnerability this night. We all played poker. There were six of us at a 5-foot table. 5 feet, this small poker table,
right.
We were together for 5 hours. No one got it. We were shocked. Not one of the group of us tested positive or got symptomatic, and he was clearly, he didn't get sick. He said he could have run a 5K the next day, but he did lose his taste of sense and smell, which means he was symptomatic.
You know, it almost makes you wonder, Michael, if there's just certain people that are going to get it and certain people that aren't going to get it, somewhat like the flu, if you would. In other words, certain people have an immune system whereby it can fight COVID very, very well, and others cannot. And I'm not an epidemiologist, so please, nobody can quote me on this, and I'm not an expert in that area. But common sense, knowing some of the things that you've said, and I've known other stories as well, common sense would tell you that I just think there's people that are more apt to fight it than others.
No doubt. I mean, there's people that would have some kind of predisposed immunity. They might have T-cell immunity, which is complex to test for. And so there's just no question. And the reason we know that is based on sampling and WHO estimates even, we have 100 to 150 million people in America that have been infected or touched the virus. The number that you see, the official number of cases, we're at 10 or 20. I mean, it's a much, much higher number. It's much higher than the eightfold increase that the CDC says. They have to play that on the conservative side. And so we have a lot of, you know, when you look at it that way, you really are talking about an infection fatality rate of about 99.75. Mm. And those little decimal points matter.
Yes, they do.
Like the difference between 99.75 and 99.99, that's a huge difference. That's hundreds of thousands of people. So those matters, those numbers matter. We're going to end up in a scenario with about probably 200,000 real COVID-19 deaths in 2020, real ones, that's real, and better than 100,000 deaths caused by the lockdowns, and that's just where 2020 is going to wrap up.
I'll leave it at that. Michael, we'll have you back after the first of the year. It's a joy having you. Merry Christmas. Have a great week and weekend, and we'll see you here in a couple of weeks, sir.
Sounds great. Merry Christmas.
I appreciate it, Michael. Thank you very much. Michael Beatrice, again, you can find his book, COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. We'll come right back. Bruce Simmons is next. You heard Bruce earlier. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. Anything you need with a reverse mortgage, even just questions, give Bruce a call. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
If you've been involved in an accident, which we hope you're not, but if you are, it can be traumatic. I know, been there, done that. It's never fun. One thing, though, that you need to make less traumatic is getting the car fixed. That's where a good shop comes into play, and they will help you with that. You don't have to go where the insurance company says to go. You can go see a good shop. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales. So in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding A Good Shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Taking a break in the action here. Patrick Neville just introduced me via text message while I was talking to Michael Beatrice to, I believe it's Nate Orman. Am I saying that right, Nate?
You are.
All right, so
good
Nate,
afternoon.
Let all of our listeners know I did a little texting back and forth with Patrick Neville here even during the show, so you're just coming on really last minute. But talk about what's happening down in the Douglas County area and what you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So we've had a lot of little mom-and-pop family-owned restaurants have really taken a beating with these lockdowns, forcing them to send their patrons outside and eat in 20-degree weather. And, you know, last week I just kind of had enough, and I thought, look, if we're going to eat outside in cold weather, 20 degrees and 25 degrees freezing temperatures, might as well do it right in front of Tri-County Health Department. So I've been buying lunches for everybody between 12 and noon at a couple of the restaurants here at four of the restaurants, downtown Castle Rock. We have a little drive, 2-minute drive over to the Tri-County Health Department and set up some music and some heaters and have a good old time and spend about an hour and a half eating outside in front of Tri-County with a little protest and a little music and a little restaurant rally.
That is awesome. So those of you that are listening, if you're down in that area and you guys do this at what time tomorrow?
Yeah, 12 to noon, and it's, 12 to 1 tomorrow. It's super important tomorrow. The restaurant owners have a baby. They gave birth to baby Gabby last week on the 11th. Mm. She had emergency surgery, and she's in the NICU now, and they weren't even able to open up until just today, and they're really struggling. It's Christmas time. This is those restaurants' Christmas. The owner today told me that if it wasn't for this, she wouldn't have been able to make her rent today or
wow.
this month. So
wow.
really, really important that we have as many people come out tomorrow as possible. I pay for the lunch.
Okay.
So you don't pay for the food. If you want a tip, all the tips in cash go back to the owner for the day.
Okay.
Tomorrow is garlic and spice. I pay for the lunch. Anything that you can do to help out with baby Gabby and Rob and their family will be, you know, really, really appreciated tomorrow.
This is great. Address, by the way, everybody, 221 Perry Street, Castle Rock. Again, just show up. Nate will do the rest. Nate, I don't want to pry too much, but, you know, what gave you this idea? What do you do for a business?
Sure. I founded a medical lien company or medical finance company about 10 years ago. I've been running it here in the Castle Rock area, downtown Castle Rock. I've been in Castle Rock for 20 years. Last Friday, I was having lunch, and I was sitting with Susan, who owns Brit Stop in the same little marketplace, and she was in tears telling me how she had to let go of all her staff. She was working 14 hours a day.
Wow.
She said, I was the only person in the restaurant at the time, and I went to eat while we were kind of chatting. She said, Nate, I'm sorry, I can't have you eating here with me. If Tri-County comes in here, they'll shut me down. And that gave me the idea. So last Friday, I Googled Tri-County. I didn't know exactly where they were, but it turns out they were just a quick two-minute drive from the restaurants that we're talking about. I drove there. I sat in front of their doors while it was snowing. I ate my lunch, and I just came up with the idea I'd bring more people with me this week. So
awesome.
That's what we're doing.
Nate, you are a good man. These folks need it. I like you. I mean, I've done everything I possibly can to try to help those restaurants in my area. I live over in the Golden area, Arvada area. I've tried to do as much eating out. In fact, my weight is not doing well because of that, so I'll have to work on that in the first of the year. But, you know, right now I kind of feel like eating out and helping restaurants, I can take the weight back off as needed and not making any excuses. But let's face it, when you eat out more, you pick up some weight, and that's what I've done. But frankly, I'll take the extra weight and help out a business as I can right now because, to your point, this is their Christmas.
Absolutely. You know, we've done over $3,500 in cash donations from
awesome.
The folks that have shown up to this. I've picked up over $2,000 in the tab for the food. So, you know, that's over $5,500 going back to these restaurants.
That's awesome.
And they had days where they had one person before we did this. So, you know, really, really important. And tomorrow's super important. They're on the corner of 3rd and Perry Street in
okay.
downtown Castle Rock.
Okay.
It's garlic and spice. It's in the Ecclesia Marketplace. And, you know, they got a baby in NICU, and we're just going to try to help them out with as much support as we possibly can. And at the same time, do a little protest, a little rally in front of Tri-County, let them know we're not going anywhere.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to put this out on some of our Facebook posts as well. We'll get some social media going. We'll announce it. I can't announce it, of course, tomorrow, because by then it'll be over. I would like to get a report back from you tomorrow and just see how things are going. I am going to keep announcing this through the rest of the show today, Nate. We'll get as many folks out there as we possibly can. And you know what, man, I wish I could shake your hand, give you a big hug. I would. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm a small business owner myself. I love other small businesses. We're the backbone of this country, and we got to keep things rocking and rolling.
Yep, absolutely. Look, you're doing what you can, and I appreciate your help here, even at last minute. Just if you can get the word out there and we get as many people to help out baby Gabby and
we'll do it.
And their parents and their restaurant, that'd be really great. I appreciate it.
Nate, we'll do it. And keep in touch. If you keep doing these, let us know. We'll get you on any time one of these comes up. We'll keep announcing them. We're going to do our best to make sure these restaurants stay alive.
You got it, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate it very much. And thank you, Patrick Neville. Also, I know you're listening as well. Thank you for setting that up. We will get as many people out as we can. So all of you that are able to do so, I don't care what part of town you're in, if you've got some free time tomorrow and you can actually be down there and eat lunch in Castle Rock, 221 Perry Street. He just told you the address, but 221 Perry Street in Castle Rock. You can order your food. He's going to pick up the tab, leave a nice tip. Let's help out baby Gabby at the same time and eat lunch and then go sit, or, you know, get your lunch and then go sit in front of the Tri-County building there and eat your lunch in protest of what's going on. Folks, we've got to stop the nonsense in Colorado or we're going to lose more businesses. So that's the announcement. I'll make it through the rest of the show here. We got another full hour coming your way. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Franktown Firearms, by the way, speaking of folks down south that we want to help support, and I say this and I mean it, if you want to buy a weapon, get it done now, because the reality is the wait time is going to go up. Prices are going to go up. Availability is going to go down. So get in there now while there's good inventory of ammo and guns as we speak. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
Buying a gun alone doesn't make you safe. Recently, the team at Franktown Firearms has been working with a lot of beginners who just want to feel safe. Widows living alone who need to protect themselves. People with arthritis in their hands who may struggle to load or rack a handgun, depending on the model. Anyone can learn defensive shooting skills, and buying a gun is a great first step.
but you need to know how to use it confidently. The team at Franktown Firearms encourages everyone to try out different guns on the range before purchasing. Right now, mention KLZ to receive a free hour on the range when you purchase a new firearm. Once you've purchased your firearm, the team at Franktown advises you to sign up for one of their basic training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can become completely comfortable with that particular gun. Free gun rentals are included with private training lessons. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, and I am actually, as we speak, texting all of our social media folks, Darby here at the station, so we'll get that information posted up to Facebook here as quickly as we can as well. And, yeah, if you can go down to Castle Rock tomorrow and have some lunch, that will be awesome. Again, that's Garlic and Spice 221 Perry Street. So it'll be a great time. Enjoy. And if Thursdays weren't my busiest day of the week, folks, coaching clients and so on, I would be down there with you. But getting to the end of the year here, it's one of my busier days. So otherwise, I would join you. But we'll get an update from Nate on how that goes tomorrow as well. We'll be right back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.